Welcome to the deep dive. You sent us a really interesting source focusing on a huge topic, remote work and real estate market shifts. But it's one specific line in there that caught our eye and yours too, I think. It just says, "Remote work trends continue to influence real estate market shifts." Just eight words. So our mission today go way beyond just reading that sentence. We're treating it like a key, really, a key to unlock what's happening structurally in the market. We want to dive deep into how these work habits are causing these, well, massive shifts in property value and use.
Exactly. And this deep dive is really tailored for you, the learner, because when you see language like continue used in this context, well, it's a signal. It tells you we're past the initial jolt, you know, the early pandemic reaction. Now we're talking about something with real staying power, sustained momentum. This force is fundamentally reshaping real estate. And that's, I mean, one of the biggest sectors globally. It's not just a dip or a cycle. It feels more like a complete re-engineering.
Okay, let's start right there with the engine driving this. Remote work trends. The source uses the plural trends. So this isn't just like working from home sometimes, is it? What are the specific persistent behaviors that have stuck around enough to be called trends?
Right, the plural trends is key. It's not one single shift. It implies multiple sort of interlocking patterns and policies that probably aren't just going to disappear. So we're seeing things like the permanent adoption of formal hybrid models, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days required in the office, but critically not five. That's a big change. We're also seeing more fully distributed teams, companies deciding they don't need a central HQ at all. Plus, things like asynchronous work becoming more common, even experiments with 4-day work weeks. Each of those is actually a distinct trend, and each one requires a different kind of physical space, or maybe none at all. A fully remote company, minimal office needs. A hybrid setup, they might need flexible spaces, perhaps smaller hubs, definitely not the giant headquarters of the past. And these aren't just, you know, temporary measures anymore. They're baked into how companies operate now, their cost, their structure.
Okay, so if these trends are sticking around, maybe permanent, they must be changing real estate investment decisions permanently too. But how exactly does that translate into influence? Let's unpack that link. We've got two big areas here, right? Commercial property and residential property. Where's the influence hitting hardest right now?
Well, the most immediate and maybe most visible impact is definitely in the commercial sector. You can see it quite clearly. The link between how many people you employ and how much square footage you need, that relationship is changing fundamentally. And what's really fascinating, I think, is that the influence isn't just about empty desks or lower occupancy rates. It's about the lease structure itself. That's where you see the real shift. Companies just aren't willing anymore to lock themselves into those massive 10 or 15-year leases. They want shorter terms. They want flexibility. They need spaces designed differently too, maybe more for collaboration, team meetings, not rows of desks. And that demand changes everything for commercial landlords, their cash flow, the whole valuation model for these buildings.
I wonder though, is the market really pricing this in accurately yet? Because if, say, half the workforce ends up hybrid long term and companies genuinely cut their space needs by like 30 or 40%, doesn't that mean a huge amount of that really expensive, dense office space is kind of fundamentally overvalued right now?
That's a really important question. And many analysts would say, no, the market probably hasn't fully absorbed the depreciation yet, especially for that Class A office space in the big city centers. Precisely because this influence is continuing. It's not done yet. And think about this. When a big office tower loses value, it's not just the owner who feels it. It hits the city's tax base hard, right? Municipal budgets rely heavily on those commercial property taxes. We're actually starting to see cities grapple with this already. If that commercial property value drops structurally long term, well, that budget gap needs filling. And often that might mean higher residential taxes or cuts to services, which in turn can create this sort of negative feedback loop, making the city core even less attractive, maybe. That, for me, shows the real depth of this structural influence. It ripples outwards.
Wow, okay, so the fallout from commercial real estate could actually make staying in dense cities more expensive for residents too. That leads us perfectly into the residential side then. If commercial space value is under pressure, where is that value or that demand shifting on the residential side?
It's essentially being redistributed. This is where that idea of location becoming fungible really comes into play. Let's make that concrete for you, the listener. Think about location value traditionally. It was almost all about the commute, right?
Yeah.
Minimizing that friction. If your job was downtown, living 20 minutes away was way more valuable than living, say, 2 hours away. Simple. But now, with tools like Zoom, Slack, Teams, whatever you use, a lot of that friction is just gone, or at least massively reduced by technology. So the location where you do your work becomes flexible, fungible, you can do it well from lots of places. And so what people demand shifts. They start optimizing for other things, maybe more space for a home office, access to better schools, perhaps, quality of life factors, parks, or yeah, just lower housing costs further out.
Right. And you can see that playing out in how house prices have changed. It's not just suburbs anymore, is it? We're talking about places further out, exurbs, even smaller cities that maybe weren't on the radar before because they were seen as too far from the main job centers.
It's exactly right. We've seen really significant and sustained differences in price growth. You might have some very expensive urban areas where prices are flat, maybe even down slightly year over year, while at the same time, smaller, more affordable towns or secondary cities, maybe ones with good internet, suddenly see prices shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't just a blip during the pandemic. It seems to be the result of these ongoing remote work trends, giving people real geographic choice.
So this changes the whole game for infrastructure too, doesn't it? If the value proposition shifts from close to the office to quality of life and good infrastructure, what happens in those places seeing sudden growth? Can they keep up?
Well, it puts enormous pressure on their existing infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. People moving to these areas aren't just buying houses. They expect and need high-speed internet that's reliable. They need roads that can handle more traffic, updated utilities, better local services, restaurants, shops, community spaces. So the influence of remote work is now forcing towns and councils to rethink their planning, their investments, much faster than they probably ever expected, just to cope with this new population distribution.
Okay, this brings us back to that crucial phrase, continue to influence.
Yeah.
We've talked about the mechanism, the redistribution, but the fact it continues. That implies we haven't reached some kind of new normal, a new balance point yet. What's stopping the market from settling down?
Yeah, connecting this to the bigger picture, I think the market is still waiting, essentially. Waiting for the really big players, the huge corporations, the city governments, the major developers, to make their final long-term strategic moves. Think of it, maybe, like a ship that's been hit by a big wave. The initial shock, the acute phase, caused frantic activity, everyone scrambling, buying houses further out, whatever.
Mm.
Now, the storm might have passed, but the ship is still listing, right? It's still finding its new balance, its new equilibrium. And that process just takes time. And companies are still figuring out the right hybrid mix. Is it 2 days in, 3 days? How does it work best? And crucially, lots of those long commercial leases signed before 2020 are only expiring now or in the next few years. So the renegotiations are happening now. That ongoing process of reevaluation ensures the influence doesn't stop. It's constant.
So we're out of the immediate reaction phase, maybe, and now we're in the slower, more strategic adjustment phase. Is that fair?
I think that's a good way to put it precisely. The initial shifts were acute, sudden. The continuing shifts feel more chronic, a slower, deeper change. And this means, for you listening, if you're looking at property, maybe investing, the old metrics from 2018 base heavily on commute times and office density. Just not the whole picture anymore. Maybe not even the main picture. The important metrics are shifting towards things like infrastructure quality, school performance, local tax situations, things that change much more slowly than house prices day to day.
Which means that old mantra, location, 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 it's being fundamentally rewritten right now in real time. And it's being rewritten by where people are choosing to work or able to work. You're essentially looking at a market that's very much in motion, not one that's found its footing yet. Okay, let's try and quickly synthesize the real power packed into the source's simple observation. That phrase, remote work trends continue to influence real estate market shifts, it tells us structurally three key things. First, the drivers are these persistent, embedded organizational trends. This isn't a temporary fad. Second, the influence is real and causal. It's driving a massive redistribution of value simultaneously, right? Pressuring commercial density value while boosting residential value elsewhere in the exurbs or secondary cities. And third, the word continues confirms this is a slow burn, chronic structural change. It's not over. It hasn't fully played out, especially thinking about those commercial lease renewals and city budgets.
That really is the core takeaway, I believe. The evolution of where we work and how we work has sort of structurally disconnected from the old idea of mandatory physical proximity. And that decoupling is fundamentally resetting how we value physical spaces, both commercial and residential, across the board. I mean, when human behavior shifts this, fundamentally, the financial systems, the physical infrastructure that supports it, It all has to adjust eventually. It just takes time.
Thank you for sharing this source with us. It packs a lot into a few words, really speaks volumes about modern economics. So what does it all mean looking forward? I guess the market is actively reshaping itself around how the workforce is distributed, and that process is definitely still underway.
And that leads to perhaps a final provocative thought for you, the listener, to consider as these trends continue to deepen. If remote work keeps influencing residential demand, shifting value away from just how long is the commute, at what point does having, say, a guaranteed super fast, low latency fiber optic internet connection to your home become a more valuable asset price-wise than being maybe 1 mile closer to the traditional downtown core? It feels like the digital infrastructure itself is becoming the new premium amenity, something to watch.